Go ahead. In My Bag Podcast. Go ahead, say it. What's your name?
I'm Baby.
Your name is Baby Cass, right?
Baby Cass. I'm Baby Cass.
And you're on Baby Cass Podcast?
Yes.
Say it, yes.
Three, tres.
Uno.
Dos.
Tres.
Cuatro.
Six. Speak into my cinco.
Tres.
Siete.
Ocho.
Nueve. Diez. Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What's up, what's up, what's up, y'all? It's your girl, Tiana Smalls, a.k.a. Coach Cooch, and you're checking out In My Bag Podcast, episode 13, y'all. And first of all, did you hear that intro to the show? That was me and your nephew, Baby Cass. He has been dying to get on the show, and I promised him that he was going to be able to get on the show. So what did you guys think? 2 years old, counting in Spanish. He knows how to speak. He knows how to count in English up to 50. He's just so amazing. So I love my kid. So I'm just so happy he was able to get on the show. But what the fuck is up? I put the kid away. So if you hear the kid screaming in the background, just mind your motherfucking business. Because it is hard, okay? All right, so first of all, before we start this episode, I would like to apologize because last week we had a little bit of a muffle. Well, it wasn't a little bit of a muffle. It was the whole show muffled. Come to find out, my mic wasn't plugged in, and that was my second time doing the show. What I really think is I think one of the ports on my computer is like messed up and it's just not working. But I didn't catch it. I'm in time, so I apologize for that. And, you know, someone mentioned it to me in the morning time when I posted it and was like, oh, you know, the show sound funny this week. And I was like, oh, my God, thank you so much. And she was like, oh, I thought you was going to get mad. I'm like, for what? What the fuck am I going to get mad about? I'd rather the ugly truth anytime more than, like, the pretty lie. Like, oh, my God, your show is so great, and I love it. And I couldn't hear it last week, but I still loved it. But it was so fucking good that even with the muffle, you guys tuned in. So thank you so very much, okay? So I spent 5 days in New York City this week. And let me tell you something. I don't fucking miss it at all, okay? The parking, it still gives me a little bit anxiety. But I did go to my sister and brother-in-law house for the fight. And I really enjoyed myself. But I couldn't leave when the fight was over because I was so fucking tired. So I ended up sleeping on their couch, my husband and I and the baby. And, well, the baby was like kind of up and we were sleeping. My sister was like, oh, let me take the baby because y'all sleep. It was a lot. But yeah, this 30 fine, well, soon to be 30 fine year old body is catching up to me. But shout out to Javonte Davis for winning the fight. The fight was like a minute and 30 seconds. It was like a real quick fight. So I was just like, after that fight, I was like really pooped. And I was like, yo, it is really time to go to fucking bed. But I woke up the next day with like such a headache. And I hate the fact that I don't drink, but I wake up sometimes and it's like I am like hungover or some shit. So yeah, whatever. I need to get more sleep, okay? But let me let you guys know I'm on a self little journey. You know, guys, I always put y'all on when I'm on my little journeys. But this time my journey is a little bit different, okay? So in 6 weeks, I will be 35, aka 35. And I am just like cleansing myself and making myself happy. I'm stepping my game up. I'm stepping up my brand. You know, I'm very popular and everything like that. But I don't care about the quantity of people that follow Tiana Smalls and love Tiana Smalls. I'm at the point now I need, you know, some quality, you know what I mean? So I wanted to like step my brands up. So I went and really like network with different people. If you follow me on my private page at Coach Cooch, you would have saw my pictures on the rooftop parties. And I also had some open houses this week, met a couple of new buyers and things of that nature. But it's time now to like step my game up. So I'm going to eat a little bit better. I want to shine. I don't want my coochie to ever have hair on it. I don't want my legs to ever have hair on it. This stuff that I hate. I don't like crust on your feet, even in the wintertime. I just want to make sure I just maintain myself, focus on myself, and just like build myself and build my brand and things of that nature. I just want to like go and wake up and have the energy to go see houses without taking 2 cups of fucking Geritol and things of that nature. I just want to continue to like love me and enjoy my life, because I enjoy it now, but I really want to just like step my game up, okay? So I watched some TV this week, okay? VH1 has a new show called Love and Listens, okay? So it stars Suge Knight's son, Jacob Knight, and he is a young guy trying to break into the real estate business. When I first heard of the Love and Listens name, I was like, oh boy, this bullshit. They're gonna about to tear up the real estate industry and give it a bad name. But I actually like the show. Let me explain why I like the show. I like the show because I think that it is very authentic to what real estate is, especially in the luxury market. Like how the show is based, like it's always a nigga that wanna get into real estate but didn't pass their test yet. There's always a little young chick getting money, talking a lot of shit. There's always some broke chick trying to break into the real estate industry and ready to sell her mama out just to get a sell. And all the other guys, they all look like realtors to me. That like environment was part of the reason why, like when I started in 2005, because I was that young chick in 2005. I got turned off from real estate because that is how it was. It was like very catty. You making moves, bitches was mad, and guys want to fuck you and all type of, it was crazy. I guess I wasn't ready for the real estate industry then, but I think it is very authentic to the real estate industry. I like mostly all of the characters. I love the only thing I have a problem with, but I know it's TV, so you have to like show a little like fakeness to it. It just doesn't happen like that. It just doesn't happen like where you just go show a person a house and they just be like, yeah, put it in for $4.2 million. Like, oh my God. It just doesn't go like that. And I think that it's time to show the reality of real estate. The only thing that was so real about that show is that people got to keep a full-time job while they're trying to break into the real estate industry, because real estate takes a lot of like getting to know people, networking. If you look a certain way, people do not want to let you sell their house for them. I'm telling you, real estate is a very vain business. It's like being a model. And you don't even have to know what you're doing. If people look at you and they see that you don't need the money, they want to fuck with you. But if they see like that girl that was thirsty and the girl said you got some dry ass hair and all that, if you look like that, they're not going to deal with you because they're going to think that you're only in it for the money because you need it, and you're not going to do a good job selling their house. And we'll get it more into the real estate business, but one thing's for sure, two things for certain, besides talking to y'all, real estate is my favorite job. I love being a realtor. I think it's a wonderful career. If you're interested in becoming a real estate agent and you want to learn the real deal, I will give you the best advice. If you're not already signed to an agency, you can go ahead. Even if you're in school and you have any questions, you could go ahead and email me on my job email, which is tsmalls@kw.com. Yes, I am a part of Keller Williams, so I am very proud of that. Okay, so off of Love and Listens, I thought it was a great show. I didn't watch Girls Cruise this week, but I heard that they was trying to come at Maya last week. Tis, 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 tis. I will catch up when I can, but I know these shows. They're always going to try to find somebody to make them the villain and things of that nature. So fucking what? She didn't remember the girl name. That girl ain't nobody. Nobody know that girl but Little Kim. And Little Kim don't even know her, because she was talking about she knew Little Kim since they was kids. And Little Kim saying she knew her since she was in the industry. I don't know. 18, 19 might be little kids to Tiffany. I don't know. But who gives a fuck? Anyway, let's get to some juice. Some hot, some stinking, nasty juice, okay? Last week, I said I wouldn't talk about Fab, but I have to talk about this week, because I didn't want to get into details, because I know with Fab and Emily, that's a real back and forth thing. This shit been going on since I was a D cup. I mean, and that was a long time ago. I mean, I don't understand, but My only question for you guys is, why does it take so much for a man to understand when you're not playing? Okay? This girl, I give it to Emily. She has a heart of gold, okay? But she is an Aquarius, so you cannot sleep on an Aquarius woman. My mother's an Aquarius woman. Most Aquarius women that I know, they don't play that. My friend Olivia, the singer's an Aquarius. They don't play that shit. No, man, they will leave you in a heartbeat. So when I met Emily, I loved her. I liked her a lot. But what I can't do, I can't be friends with you if I know deep down inside I don't like your situation. I know. It sounds judgmental, but it wasn't judgmental. It was more like, I don't want to overstep my bounds, so we can't be friends, okay? But he used to just play her like a fucking fiddle, okay? And I just was like, oh my God. But now she finally said, fuck that. I'm tired of getting played. I'm tired of the bacteria infections, all right? I'm gonna leave this nigga alone. And she has him right where she needs him. But if she go back now, it's going to be a wrap. He's not going to respect anything that she got going on. I mean, Fab practically gave Cardi B a better birthday shout out than he gave Emily. But now he's leaving emojis under her pictures. And he's sick in the game. And see, this is the thing, fellas. I don't know how many men listen to my show. If I was a man, I really wouldn't listen to my show. But if you want some game, here it is. It's only but so much a bitch could take. You understand what I'm saying? Like, yes, we love you. Yes, we want to be with you. We got kids with you. Yes, we see the potential in you. But after a while, it's like, how much can a bitch get played? And then you playing me with some fucking busted ass little Dominican mommies up in La Marina and dirty chicks on Instagram, bitches that follow me, admire me, fucking my nigga. I always tell y'all this, and it is true. You can't fuck with a nigga that you can't talk your shit with. If I can't walk around, like I told you guys on previous episodes, if I can't walk around talking my shit that I do, you know how Tiana Smalls do, talking her ish. If I can't do that, because the first thing somebody gonna write under my page is, yeah, but that's why your fucking husband ate my friend out or some bullshit like that, then I don't need you. And I think she finally understands that you will be okay without him, because it's like you're a joke, a laughing stock. And what I always tell you girls is that another nigga that might like you won't even fuck with you because he like, damn, that bitch is weak. You don't think men judge you off of like your previous situation? That's why I tell y'all, when y'all meet a man, don't be telling no man your business. If he asks you why you and your baby father didn't work out, we grew apart. It just didn't work out. We saw life differently. I'm not gonna get into details like, yeah, he used to beat my ass. Yeah, he used to cheat on me. He fucked my cousin. They're gonna be like, this bitch is weak and dumb. So I'm glad that she's finally starting to realize that nothing better than dick but some new dick, okay? I'll say it again. Nothing is better than dick but some new dick. And I think she got some new dick, some bold dick, some I'm not scared of Fab and his Goonies dick. And she said, fuck that, I'm going to LA. Throw it up, West Side. That's what I think really happened. I think she found someone new who's not afraid of Fab and his Goonies, okay? I think that he has gangsters too. And I think he's giving it to her good. And I think he got some money. And I just think that all I ask for her, if she really is over Fab, if she moves on with this new nigga, even though I wish she would have just moved on to herself, but I know Emily and I know Aquarius women. I don't know one Aquarius woman that been alone for a long time. They always find a man. I don't know where these Aquarius women find these men from, but they always find a man. So I really didn't want her to be with another man. However, I understand she really doesn't have a job, so she really got to go ahead and get hers. I understand it. She likes to live a high lifestyle. I mean, come on. Fab learned all his style from Emily. Now he's back wearing oversized t-shirts, okay? So I just want her to get a career, something that she loves, something that she sticks with, because I think that she starts these projects like the shoe line and things of that nature and styling services, but then she never sticks with it. I don't know if it's the toxicity of her relationship that's distracting her, but I feel like, all right, it's time to step it up, mamita. It's time to not tolerate the disrespect. And why should you tolerate disrespect in this era? So let me explain something to you. I'm very happy he's sick in the game. Because you know what? Fab was the last of the 40-year-old niggas from New York that need to get sick in the game. Because Fab got these niggas out here, especially in Brooklyn, feeling like they could be a player. They could fuck the little 20-year-olds and get away with it and things like that. You don't know. Like, these regular niggas admire these rappers. Half of y'all wouldn't even be married if Jay-Z didn't get married. Especially Brooklyn niggas. They wasn't talking about no marriage. They was on some Jay-Z shit. You remember when Jay-Z said, "Me fall in love with a woman, not for nothing, never happened. I'll be forever macking." Your broke nigga at home was rapping that rhyme, and he really believed that shit until he saw Jay-Z fall in love, and then he was like, "Oh, all right, love is cool." Whatever Jay-Z say, that's what these niggas are doing. So Fab was like the last one giving these niggas a little bit of And for him not to marry that girl and for him to play her the way he did, I think that she is better off without him. I really hope she don't get back with him, but I'm not going to hold my breath because I know that I'm sure she had him sick like this before, but it just wasn't public. Now he's sick because she got a new nigga with a bigger dick with some more money to him, and he can't handle it. And that's most men. But here's the thing, men. If you know you can't handle losing that girl, do right by her, all right? Stop fucking everything in the world, because some of y'all guys that got to go and fuck everything moving, I'm starting to think about y'all differently, because it's like no bitch can make you stop fucking everybody. I don't know. I got other thoughts about guys that act like that. But anyway, talking about disgruntled exes, okay? Matt. You remember Matt from Real Housewives of Atlanta? Kenya's ex? Well, he was arrested with the crazy coke eyes for punching his girlfriend in the face. Now, let me explain something to you. When I saw this mugshot, I was like, nah, this nigga is so fucking crazy. And he always looked crazy. And I already knew he was crazy when he tried to fight pedo ass in the radio station. But listen, Kenya really, really, really dodged a bullet with that nigga. I know he was young and sexy, and I know that he probably had that crazy dick, because you know crazy niggas come with crazy dick. That's a whole nother show. But she's better off without him, because he's the type of nigga that go kill a bitch and stuff. Nobody got time for these crazy niggas. One thing I don't like is a crazy nigga. I don't like it, and it's all in the eyes. So if you just met a nigga and you wondering if he's crazy, look at his eyes. If his eyes is like dancing all over the place, he's looking at other things, he looking at other places, he got hair, his nose is flaring up, you gotta look at all the signs, all right? So I really encourage you guys to look into a nigga's eyes and see if he's crazy. Another thing you need to do is talk to him. You know, what class was he in when you growing up? You know, how many people was in your class? Was there six people? I need to know. I got questions, okay? You know what I mean? Like, did you have pets growing up? Did you pull their tail? Did you burn them on fire? These are things that you need to know. And another thing you guys better do, and I told you guys this on episode 1. You guys better start doing background checks on these niggas. I'm not saying that a background check will, like, determine if somebody is crazy, because if they never got caught doing nothing, they won't have a background. But I still think you should do a background check, because nowadays you just never fucking know. It is really fucking scary out here. So I'm glad that Kenya Moore is married and she has the cutest daughter in the world. Like, oh my God. I don't even believe in light skin couples, but I want baby Cass to bag her daughter Brooklyn. She is just so yummy and cute. Oh my God. So I'm gonna try to get baby Cass to bag that up, okay? Alrighty. So yeah, we're gonna go to T.I. and Tiny. You know, T.I. is not my favorite person, but he's starting to grow on me a little bit, like a cousin. And T.I. and Tiny is celebrating their 9th year anniversary, okay, as well as Alicia Keys and Swiss Beatz. But I don't believe Alicia Keys and Swiss Beatz was married 9 years. I think they just celebrating 9 years of whatever. I don't think they were married 9 years. However, I always tell this story about Swiss Beatz and Alicia Keys, right? Going back to my first show, right? Alicia Keys, she was on one of the episodes of What Chili Wants With Us, right? So I'm walking to the, you know, arena where they're about to do the concert, and Alicia Keys is performing, and Swiss Beatz got all his friends, and he got a weird looking bunch of friends or whatever the case may be. And I see him walking, all right? This is before it was like known that they were really like dating or whatever. And this is 10 years ago. So maybe they was married 9 years. I don't know. But I see them walking. I see him walking to go see Alicia Keys performing or whatever. And I was standing like 3 spots away from him because we was filming the show. And when Alicia Keys got on a microphone, Oh my God, Swiss Beats just like stopped and glared at her like he saw Jesus. And that's when I called my mama and my sisters and I said, Mashonda ain't getting her man back. And they was like, what? What you mean? I know when a man look at a woman a certain way. Like, it's a look. And that's how I could tell. Like, my friends will tell you, I could look into a picture of you and your man. And you guys can send me the pictures. Send me the pictures on Instagram. I could look at a picture between you and your man, at least two pictures, and tell you if that man got them eyes for you. I don't know. I'm not a psychic. I'm not Miss Cleo or nothing like that. But I can look at a picture and tell if a man is really into you or not. And I could tell you something. I have never seen a man look at a woman like that before. He was obsessed. I was like, she ain't never getting that nigga back. So they might have been married for 9 years. And Tia and Tiny, they ain't stopping. 9 years. You know what my father says about marriage? He say you got to get through 7 years of marriage in order to get that monkey off the marriage. And 7 years, he said. So these couples are making it past the 7 year mark. And please, 9 years of celebrity years is like 18 years being married. So that's like really good or whatever the case may be. I'm happy to hear about this, okay? Destiny's Child album. They have an anniversary as well. Destiny's Child Writing on the Wall album. I don't know how old you are, but if you are in your 30s or 40s, you know about this motherfucking album, okay? It is 20 years old, okay? And of course, my favorite song was Temptation. You remember that song? I know you see me watching you, and I see you watching me. Boy, your body's calling, but temptation is killing me. I like that. And I like the so good, so good, so good. I used to love Destiny's Child, so I really am excited to see that this album is 20 years old. But I also feel a little old, like, damn, 20 years old, 20 years past. So Beyonce really is a legend, because to be out here 20 years later, still doing your thing, still being the queen of what you do, shout out to Beyonce, Virgo power motherfuckers, okay? So, also, I want to talk about Gucci Mane, rapper Gucci Mane. You know, I'm not a big fan of Gucci Mane, but I respect Gucci Mane, and I respect the fact that, you know, a lot of people respect him because he's a real street dude or whatever the case may be, but he's ordered to pay $10,000 a month to his baby mother, and you guys heard about him. He has a child with a young lady, and his kid is autistic, and she was saying that while Gucci Mane was living the life with Keisha, you know, they were living in Section 8 and things of that nature, and she doesn't deserve that. And I feel like, I know to regular people, they probably think like $10,000 is a lot of money, but it ain't that much money. It's $120,000 a year. I mean, in 10 years, that's $1.2 million. I mean, hey, the kid got to be like 8 years old, so he'll be off in 10 years. He'll only be spending like $1.2 million or whatever the case may be. But I believe that a child deserves to live the life the kid lived. I hate to see a rich nigga who don't want to pay child support or a rich nigga who don't want to take care of their kids. And what I can tell you is that celebrity niggas is worse fathers than regular niggas. I'm going to tell you that right now. Like, they got a lot of ego. All they do is buy their kids cars so they will stay off of Love and Hip Hop. I'm telling you, it get real dirty in these streets. Okay, all right, so I know what you guys are waiting for. I promised you this, and I am going to deliver. Okay, I am going to talk about J-Lo. Okay, Jennifer Lopez, dancer, actress, wannabe singer, whatever you may say about Jennifer Lopez. Jennifer Lopez is in my bag's hero. Let me explain why. Jennifer Lopez turned 50 years old this week. And shout out to her, happy motherfucking birthday. But what Jennifer Lopez don't get the credit for, that Tiana Smalls, aka Coach Cooch, is about to give her credit for, is that Jennifer Lopez is the realest man eater alive. Okay? She got these niggas, oh my God, you think that Emily doing something with the Puerto Rican power? No. Okay? J-Lo got the real Puerto Rican power, and she's not playing no games. Okay? J-Lo had a very humble beginning, okay? She started out in the Bronx, and I know that one day she probably met a nigga that said, you look good, girl, and she probably was like, oh, I want to be a star, and he probably was like, well, what can you do? And she probably was like, I don't know how to do anything, and he was like, well, you know what? Sucking ain't gonna just get you there. You gotta get a talent, because that's what they tell you when you first want to get in the industry. What can you do? That's like a popular question. So if you're thinking about getting into the entertainment industry, think about this question. What do you do? So I believe that J-Lo, and me and my sister was on the phone cracking up. I'm talking about tears coming out of my eyes talking about this. I believe that J-Lo never really knew she was going to be a dancer. I think that she had that conversation with herself one day that we all have with ourselves. And that was the conversation of, I'm not going to be fucking broke anymore. I'm not going to be like this. I'm not going to be like that. I'm not going to work 100 hours just to come home with $1,000 check. I got to get out there and make it happen. So I believe that J-Lo knew she had a good little body. She knew she had a little face. And she went out there and learned how to dance properly so that she can become a dancer. She ended up being Janet Jackson dancer. And she ended up being on A Living Color. A Living Color was her breakthrough of man eating. Okay. She said to herself, who do I got to fuck to make sure I become that first fly girl you see when you turn on the TV? See, listen. A lot of people don't understand something. If you're going to be a hoe for show, make sure that you got a motherfucking plan. And I really believe that J-Lo was a hoe with a plan in those days. So yes, people like Jamie Foxx made fun of her like, oh, I don't remember you as J-Lo. I remember you as Hey Ho. But that don't count if she made it to her goal. See, everybody's not talented. Everybody's not smart. Everybody's not going to work at the bank, okay? We got to realize that. Some motherfuckers is like, fuck that. Who I got to fuck to get where I gotta go? I mean, I know K. Michelle said that. I mean, people say it. Who do I gotta fuck to get where I gotta go? But the difference is, K. Michelle didn't suck the right dick. J-Lo was like, who do I gotta fuck to make it? So all of a sudden, she fucked the right nigga. Okay, I'm on A Living Color. In Living Color. Then she started, you know, messing with the big dolls of Lincoln. So what happens when you start putting a real good punani on a nigga with money? He start taking you out places. So then when they started taking her out places, she started meeting other niggas with money. See, this is the thing what people don't realize. When you bag one baller, you could bag them all. It's all, it's like a foray of ballers when you go certain ways, especially if that is your intention. But the thing that J-Lo did that was so smart was she kept on working, kept on learning. Every nigga she fucked with, she was learning something from. Okay, I'm learning something from Keenan Wings. I'm learning something from this guy. I'm learning something from this guy. This guy teaching me how to be an executive. This guy gonna teach me how to dance. And then she said, fuck that. I look good. I'm J-Lo. I'm going to learn how to sing. And even if I don't know how to sing, they got this thing that you can put your, you know, your voice in the machine and they're going to make you know how to sing. So then she said, I'm going to be a singer. Singer. Who can make me a star? That's what she met. P. Diddy. Okay. AKA Sean Puffy Combs. And she said, and he probably gassed up and was like, you got a good look. You got a fat ass. That's all you need to be in the industry. I can make you a star. And then she was like, you really think so? And he was like, yeah, I really think so. So then he was like, this is all you gotta say. If you wanna keep me, then you don't. Even if you're wrong, cause love don't cause a thing. He taught her how to dance. He taught her how to have some swag. You know, he's like, listen, this is what you need to do. You're Selena. People know you. You have a following. You know, cause let me not skip Selena. So let me tell you something. She was such a hustler. She was a Puerto Rican playing a Mexican. And that's like in the Spanish world, like a no-no. But then when the Mexicans was like, oh my God, we love her. Oh my God, she reminded us of Selena. Even though they was mad at first. That's when she was like, all right. That's when she had the attention of the white people. So she was like, I already got the white people. But I got to break into this new thing called hip-hop. And that's when she met Sean Puffy Combs. And he gassed her up to him. Was like, yo, I really do think you got some potential. And she was like, you think so? And that's when he put the auto-tune on the voice. Listen, it don't matter if you don't know how to sing. You got to remember this. It does not matter about talent anymore. Okay, Diddy showed you that. It doesn't matter about talent, okay? It's about who wants it more. And J-Lo wanted it more. She was like, you think I'm going to be a fucking teacher like my sister coming home with $1,500? No, I want to spend that on outfits. So he helped her with the image, the buns, the juicy outfits, show a little bit of your stomach. You know, you're already a dancer. Use what you got to get what you want. And then she learned every motherfucking thing from that nigga. While he thought he was playing her, treating her like his other baby mothers and shit like that, she was like, nigga, I'm gonna learn what I need to learn and I'm gonna keep it moving. So what happened was, bang, they in the club, pow 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 pow. Diddy gets a gun charge. They go ahead and arrest Puffy and they arrest Jennifer Lopez. And that bitch said, hell fucking no, I did not suck 90 dicks to get here to be locked up. They won't let me out. So that's when I'm in my bag about this. I thought about this all night. That's when she was like, you know what? I already broke into the scene. I already have Fat Joe and, you know, Pun, because, you know, Spanish people stick together. That's what I like about them. They stick together. So she was like, I don't really need Diddy anymore. This is like too much of a bad press. I'll never forget. It was a Daily News article that was saying, like, is he ruining her career? They had her on there with the mink and the priest and all that shit. J-Lo was letting him know. She called him a straight up. Diddy, this was great. His name was Puffy at the time. Puffy, this was great, Puff. I enjoyed our time. But I want to be, you know, a big-time actress. I want to have, like, music deals. I want to go across the world. You got me where I need to go. I appreciate you. You have a friend for life. But I just can't fuck up everything that I have to be with you. And he was like, all right, J-Lo, you know, go about your business. Because in his mind, he thinking, like, she ain't shit without me. Go ahead. He is another Scorpio. Smack a whole tribe member. So he was like, go about your business then, bitch. You know, whatever. That's what she was like, oh, my God. Like, oh, my God. What am I going to do? And that's what she was like, you know what? I'm going to fuck with that white nigga that been looking at me for a long time. And that's when she started messing with Ben Affleck. So now she's going from Vibe magazine articles to motherfucking Us Weekly People. She's on there every week. This was like, if you're into media, oh my God. Bennifer was a huge media blitz. It's like everywhere you turn, J-Lo, Bennifer, Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck was that nigga. You know what I'm saying? Good Will Hunting. He was popping. So she got with him. And that's when she gained that white audience. See, before she had the Spanish audience, then the black audience. But then it was like, oh. And you know what they say? Once you go white, you get your motherfucking credit white, right? Okay? So that's when she was like, you know what? This is going to put me in a big league. So I'm going to keep fucking with him, keep doing my thing or whatever with him, and see where this go. It made her into a superstar messing with him. Then she was like, fuck that. I can marry a dancer. That didn't work out. Then she said, you know what? I'm going to go back to my roots. I'm going to go back to my roots because I am real, okay? And I am Puerto Rican, and I love my heritage, but I am real. And I'm going to get me another Puerto Rican. That's when she got with Mark Anthony. And Mark Anthony kind of like tied it all together. It showed her authenticity to her heritage. It showed that she could be a producer. She wanted to start doing her own albums now because now I'm a boss. I learned everything from these relationships. I'm a boss now, and it's time for me to get ownership. That's what it takes in order for you to make money in the entertainment business. Ownership. So then she said, wow, he taught her that game. Like, you know, J-Lo, you could be this, you could be that. They tied it together. They have a production deal together. They're getting big movie deals. People are signing up to their production company. All kind of shit. So with every nigga, J-Lo rose to the top. She kept going higher and higher. So what does this all mean? Right? What does it mean? The point of the matter is that J-Lo is the ultimate man-eater because she didn't let her feelings stop her from doing what she wanted to do. She didn't care about people calling her J-Ho. She didn't care if she went through 5 niggas in 5 years because at the end of the day, she was winning with each nigga. Finally, she realized, like, you know what? I don't even need these niggas. I'm J-Lo. I'm self-made. Because you know they always self-made after they done use 100 niggas. She was like, I'm self-made. I don't need no nigga. I ain't fucking with it. Don't worry about it. That's when A-Rod came around. Now, A-Rod is the ultimate man, okay? He has a very large fan base. He's coming from the athlete, you know, side of life. And also, what you may not know about A-Rod is that he is into the finance world. He teaches other athletes and business people how to keep their money. So that's probably why he bought J-Lo that car that she hated so much. She was like, a car? Nigga, I ain't driving myself in 20 years. What you doing wasting money on a car? Now, if the car don't come with the bitch-ass driver, I don't want this fucking car. She was pissed. Trust me. She was very pissed off about that car. But he's trying to teach her, like, well, you know, honey, instead of spending $120,000 a year on your driver, guess what? You get a car, and you get a car. So if they break up, it's over that motherfucking car because she did not like that car. And she probably felt like, you know what, A-Rod? You don't respect my lifestyle. I don't have to take this shit. Like, that's super diva shit. You know what I'm saying? And I always thought in my mind that J-Lo was a little lesbian on the low anyway. So she ready to get rid of his ass at any time. So don't be shocked if you hear they broke up. Because that car, she's not going to drive it. He's going to be pissed off. He's going to have to end up taking that car back or giving it to the nanny or something. She's not, I don't see her driving. Like, you think I'm going to be riding through the city and I'm going to see J-Lo driving? It's not even safe for her. So she's not going to drive that car, A-Rod. You should have listened to your woman. woman. Don't you fucking hate that? When a man buy you something expensive that you don't fucking want? I'll never forget. My husband, when we was engaged, my birthday came. He bought me these $1,300 sneakers. And I said, all right, Giuseppe sneakers. I'll never forget. I said, you fucking crazy? For $1,300, I could have bought like motherfucking a good 70 pairs of shoes. Like, I got a size 6 foot. I could buy me mad shit for that. Like, are you crazy? $1,300 for some damn sneakers? Like, I don't like that. I like when you just buy me what I want. And I think she probably wanted something else, because she was like reaching for it. Probably thought it was jewelry or something. He came with that fucking car and she was pissed off. And she will get rid of him in a hot minute. Don't think that J-Lo love A-Rod so much. He's just helping her with her retirement plan, so she won't have to do so many shows. Like me and my sister was saying, that bitch only gonna do like 3 shows a year or 4 shows a year. She's not gonna overwork herself. She's 50 now. Time to sit down a little bit. So J-Lo just went from nigga to nigga. She don't care. She doesn't stop. She is a Cancer woman, right? That's Cancer or Leo. Whatever she is a bitch that does not play, and she's not going to sit there and settle for just anything. And you know what? You girls and we girls, us girls, we can learn from that, okay? Yes, I'm not saying you got to suck as much dicks as she did or fuck as many people as she did, but the reality of it is most of y'all do fuck as many niggas as she did, and most of y'all do suck as many niggas as she did, but guess what? Guess what? Come closer. You're still broke. So what's the fucking point? You know what I mean? What is the point? We gotta stop, especially us black women. We gotta stop giving out charity pussy. Okay? God gave us a pussy for a reason. He gave us this so that we can cherish it and also to help us along the way. That's why it's wet. It's water. We're supposed to be like swimming through life, getting to where we gotta go, not letting our emotions stop us from achieving greatness, not letting our personal life fuck us over with the bag. You know, people I know dropped the bag and fumbled it because they found that their man was cheating on them. Now they can't come to work. Or they found out that their man is this and they just so distraught. They can't worry about their business. No. Mm-mm. I could be crying, okay? 5 minutes before this show, I could be... But nothing is going to stop me from getting the bag. So whenever you think about letting some tired ass, regular ass, UPS ass nigga stress you the fuck out, think about J-Lo and say, what would J-Lo do? Okay, you remember they had the what would Jesus do? What would J-Lo do? Okay, J-Lo will leave your ass sitting there and probably go and marry your father. I mean, this is the way it goes, okay? So I want to give J-Lo the first Tiana Smalls Coach Cooch in my bag award for the man eater of the century. I like to really like write a book about her. J-Lo, 50 years of man eating. And she doesn't give a fuck and she doesn't miss a hand. She's still a flyest in the game. She could dress her motherfucking ass off. So that's my dissertation about J-Lo. And I want you guys to be motivated. I want you guys to stay in the bag. And thank you to everybody who writes me letters saying that I motivate them to keep going and things of that nature. Because you know what? Those letters are real. They really mean a lot to me. And I really do appreciate it. Some girl told me today that she's going to start her own business. She's a teacher, but she's going to start her business also on the side. And I love that. Like, you don't have to quit your job when you first start doing real estate. You don't have to quit your job when you first start a business. The reality of it is that you have to use your job like how J-Lo used her pussy to get to the next level. You got to use everything in your life to help you get to that next bag. And that's why this show is called In My Bag. Because not only am I in my money bag, I'm in my feelings bag. I'm in my 35-year-old bag. I'm in my mommy bag. We are in our bag. Okay? So before I go, I want to talk about something because someone asked me, Coach Cooch, why did you say it was inappropriate for young Miami of the City Girls to be in a club pregnant? And I thought it was self-explanatory why it's inappropriate for a woman that's 6, 7, 8 months pregnant in the club. But the reason why I said it, because I'm Coach Cooch, I'm auntie at this point, 35 years old almost, and it's smoke in the club. There's safety issues in the club. There's niggas that's disrespectful in the club. I mean, come on, Kodak Black already said he was going to punch her in the stomach when he saw her. There's a lot of things that can happen in the club. And I don't give a fuck if you need the bag. I don't care if you already took the security deposit for the appearance. Give it back. You are pregnant now. And there's some things that you're just going to have to relax with, especially now that you're showing. And we didn't let Yandy and Kimbella get away with being in the club pregnant. Remember, they was pregnant, both of them, and they was up there hosting that club, and we all was gagging and throwing up. Well, we got to treat Young Miami the same way. And also, Young Miami's a young lady. So maybe she doesn't know these things that we know. We're grown. We're older than her. So maybe she didn't know that being in a club pregnant ain't cute. But in the end of the day, I don't feel it's cute at all. And I don't even feel a man should allow his woman to be in a motherfucking club pregnant. Because like I said, it's too many things that can happen. That secondhand smoke, that's your child. And this is the problem I have every week on the show when we talk about people with kids. It's like they don't get it. Like, about your child. These are your children. You know what I mean? And it makes me cry. I tell y'all, it makes me cry every week because I don't like the way people are treating their children. And just recently in the Bronx, a man left his twin kids in the car and to go to work. And he went to work for not 1 hour, not 2 hours, not 3 hours, not four, not five, not six, not seven, 8 whole fucking hours, and didn't realize that he had the kids in the car and the kids burnt to death. 108 degree. They burned, the bodies was at 108 degrees. They burned to death. When the cops saw them, it was such a gruesome discovery that the kids' mouth was foam. They were foaming at the mouth. They had to cover the windows because that's how bad the bodies were. And the man said, with his fake ass crying, he said he didn't know they was in the car. And I mean, I have a little kid, so I don't want to talk about anybody's kids. And I understand that sometimes you could be forgetful, but you forget not one, but two kids in the backseat of your car. And then I don't like a lot of things that's going on with that case. You know, this is some real hood action news here. I don't like a lot of things that's going on with this case because in the end of the day, I never hear, like, who is the mother at? Where, you know, like, he dropped one kid off the daycare. He thought he dropped the other ones off. But where's the mom at? Why is the lady who's taking care of the three-year-old not taking care of the twins? And also, I understand that you could be sleep-deprived. But also, did y'all run a drug test on him? Did he have coke in his system? Did he have medicine in his system? So what? He's a fucking social worker. That don't mean he ain't sniff a line of coke before he took those kids to school. It's a lot of questions. This make me want to be a CIA agent or FBI agent or something. Because it's like so many questions, very little answers. Remember your kids. If you don't remember nothing else in this fucking world, in this weather, you remember your kids. Even if you got your kids in a room for too long, make sure the window's open. Make sure you have a fan on. Make sure you have the AC on. Because it does get hot. And kids cannot be in smoldering hot too long, heat too long. They will die. So let's be more mindful. Let's take our time. I'll never forget when we took baby Cass to the doctor when we first had him. You know, the doctors are trained to look at you to see if you're really doing what you're supposed to do. And the doctor said, you guys are suffering from sleep deprivation. And I said, oh, wow, how the fuck did she know? And she said, y'all got to switch schedules. You might have to take care of the baby in the day. And you got to take care of the baby at night so that y'all can get sleep and figure it out. But y'all can't be sleepy with a baby, a little baby on your hands. And I said, you know what? She was right. And ever since she told us that we were suffering from sleep deprivation, we was up all night. We both are new parents. Baby Cass is my husband and I's first child, both of us. For our first child, we didn't know what the fuck we was doing. We were tired. We was up all night, staying up with the baby, and he was waking up every 2 hours. It was a hot fucking mess. But thank God we made it through that stage, and now we have opposite schedules even to this day for the baby, and that's the way it gotta go, okay? So we gotta love our children and love each other, basically. And I just thank you guys for listening to In My Bag podcast. I know a lot of you guys say you don't like podcasts, but you like mine, which is good. So make sure you tell three friends to come and listen to In My Bag podcast, and make sure you leave a comment, good, bad, or indifferent. I just appreciate all comments, and I appreciate the support. Once again, it's your girl, Tiana Smalls, a.k.a. Coach Cooch, and I'm in my bag. I'm gonna check y'all out next week. Peace.